Good morning. This is your announcer, Jim Kless, seated just off the chancel of St. John's on the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. As the commentary leads you through our worship, please, we hope that you feel as you are with us here in person. Our order of worship this morning is Divine Service 2 on page 158 of the Lutheran hymnal. We begin our worship this morning by singing Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying, hymn 177 in the Lutheran worship.
The Lord be with you. Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be with all of you this morning for worship. We are following the order of service as it's printed before you in your worship bulletin. We'll continue now with the brief order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. We pray. O God of justice and love, you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need and awaken us to the needs of others. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The lecture this morning is Barb Perry. May God open our hearts to receive the words he speaks to us through her.
The first reading is from Amos chapter 5, verses 18 through 24. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion, only to meet a bear. As though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall, only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark, without a ray of brightness? I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will not have no regard for them. Away with noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in the responsive reading of Psalm 70 as printed in your worship bulletin.
Hasten, O God, to save me. Come quickly, Lord, to help me.
May those who want to take my life be rich in shame and
in May all who desire my ruins be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, turn back because of their shame. But as for me, I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O God.
The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians. The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Brothers and sisters, we do not want to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we are still alive. Who left until the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with the loud command, with the voices of the archangel, with the trumpet's call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel of Fable. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oils in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one says to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins were ready, went in, and with him to the wedding banquet. The door was shut. Later the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please have a seat, and I invite you to join in singing the baptismal hymn as a...
Please join us in singing the baptismal hymn. I was there to hear your boring cry.
Was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you Amen.
That's good. All right. In holy baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. In the waters of holy baptism, we are reborn children of God and inheritors of eternal life. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, which is the body of Christ. As we live with Him and with His people, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God.
We present Elijah Root Poinagi to receive the sacrament of holy baptism.
In Christian love, you have presented Eliza for holy baptism. You should therefore faithfully bring her to the services of God's house, teach her the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. As she grows in years, you should place in her hands the Holy Scriptures and provide for her instruction in the Christian faith, that living in the covenant of her baptism and in communion with the church, she may lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. And so I ask you as parents, godparents, on behalf of your husband too, as godparents and the rest of the family and members of St. John's, do you promise to fulfill these obligations? If so, answer, I do. I ask you as parents, godparents, members of St. John's, the rest of the family, and members of St. John's to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, to reject sin and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. And so I ask you, do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil and all his empty promises? If so, answer, I do. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? If so, answer, yes, I believe in God the Father. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. If so, answer, yes, I believe in God the Son. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? If so, answer, yes, I believe in God, the Holy Spirit. Eliza Ruth Honecki, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There you go. All right. Got her? Okay. You can just have her spin her towards me a little bit. Yep, thank you. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for freeing your daughter from the power of sin and for raising her up to new life through holy baptism. Pour your Holy Spirit upon Eliza, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence. Amen. Eliza Ruth Honecki, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen. So, Caleb, this is now the second time as a big brother you've stood up here for a baptism, huh? This is pretty exciting stuff. But I got to ask you, did you notice what I lit up there at the start of the baptismal ceremony? What do you see up on the altar there? What do you see there? Is that a you see that? Yeah, right. So we lit that today for your sister. Right, and that candle is a reminder of the light of Jesus that shines not only in your life but also in hers. Right, so you have to do me a favor, okay? Each year on this day, with the help of mom and dad, you take that candle out, okay? And mom and dad will light it, and you guys celebrate. You celebrate Eliza's baptism just like you celebrate her birthday, right? You celebrate her baptism. Can you do that for me? Yeah. It's a big job. It's a big job. But I think you're just the man. I mean, if God was able to send you into the promised land, right? You can certainly take care of a baptismal candle. Yeah. And you, boy, the two of you working together, the great prophet and the spy who entered the promised land. My goodness. So that's your job, okay? Sound good? All right, let's pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family, and that you have granted Eliza new birth in holy baptism and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you, as Eliza has now become your child, that you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to all your good pleasures, she may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. Look with kindness upon her mom and her dad, her godparents, the rest of the family, and us here at St. John's. Let us ever rejoice in the gift that you have given us and Eliza. Enable us all to be teachers of righteousness for her. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to take a stroll with her if that's all right. Okay, kiddo, you ready? Yeah, look at you. I got to get you positioned just right here. There we go. Sure. There you go. What do you think, huh? Come on, let's go. Let's go for a stroll. You are so cute. You're so tiny. Yeah. Everybody, this is Eliza. I want you to get a better look at her, right? She is just absolutely beautiful, right? And this is a big day for you. You know, one of the neat things about baptism is that God makes you a part of a big family. And this is just a little portion of that big family he's made you a part of, right? So everybody meet Eliza. This is God's child. God has made her his own in holy baptism, and he's united us as a family together. You guys get ready. It's coming, right? We rejoice with you today, kiddo. And you know, of all the things I tell every baby that I baptize, of all the things that I can tell you, right, the most important thing is how much Jesus loves you. And that's really what today is all about. It's about God and Jesus loving you and making you his own. So we look forward to watching you grow up to be a big girl, right? And we look forward to teaching you all the things there are to know about God. And you're getting ready to release, so I'm going to give you back to your godmother. There you go. There you go. One last thing. You know the drill, right? You know the routine. So we have a faith chest for you guys, as we have done in the past. So this was decorated for you, I believe, Grace. No, Laura. Laura, I'm sorry. Laura took care of this. So thank you, Laura, for doing that. But this is for you, a place to place all those different faith mementos that you'll receive as Eliza grows. We'll get you started with the baptismal napkin and the candle, and then it becomes a partnership between us and you to keep filling this. So God bless you. Congratulations again. And what a joy this is. Go in the peace of Christ. Amen. We'll continue with the sermon hymn.
Join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, Be Still My Soul, hymn 510 in the Lutheran worship. This is your Hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, DPU, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM dial, WXRL.
Give it to you, and you can put it in the box.
Still my soul, the Lord is on my side. hush your heavenly prayer. Through thorny ways, please do a joyful end. Be still, my soul, your God will undertake to guide the future as he has the rest. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright.
God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text I chose for the sermon this morning is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. That's the second reading that Barb read for us a few moments ago. And as I looked at the readings for this week, I felt that the 1 Thessalonians passage is really a neat continuation of what we talked about last week for All Saints Day. And so I want to talk a little further on that. To get you thinking about it, I want to share with you a story. I came across this story, and it was written by a man. It was actually a letter, so it's not a story, but it's a letter that was written by a man by the name of Samuel Schumacher. And he was an Episcopal pastor, and he wrote this letter for his wife. And he wrote it 2 months, 2 months just before he died, and his wife would find it after he passed away. And this is what he wrote. As I sit in the study, I look back with many thanks. It's been a great run. I wouldn't have missed it for anything. Much could and should have been better. And I have by no means done what I should have done with all that I've been given. But the overall experience of being alive has been a thrilling experience. And I believe that death is a doorway to more of it. Clearer, cleaner, better. With more of the secrets opened than locked. I have to say, I don't feel much confidence in myself as regard to all of this. For few have ever deserved eternal life. But with Christ's death and his resurrection, and him gone on before me, I have neither doubt nor fear. I believe that I shall see him and know him, and that eternity will be an endless opportunity to consort with the great souls and all of those who have entered into the freedom of the heavenly city. I think that's a beautiful letter that he wrote. And I think if there's one thing that his letter expresses so wonderfully, it's confidence and it's hope. A confidence and hope. A confidence and a hope and a new beginning and a uniting. You see, he saw death as not the end, but the beginning. The beginning of something absolutely remarkable with Jesus and all the saints. And so thankful for what he had and thankful for what was to come, he awaited with joyful hope. And that really brings me to the second reading for today. You see, in this reading, we meet Paul. And Paul is writing to the people in Thessalonica. And you see, the people in Thessalonica, well, they were worried, I suppose, in a way. And they were grieving as they thought about loved ones, the souls of people who had gone on before them. You see, in their minds, as they thought about the return of Jesus, they believed that it was going to happen in their lifetime. And so, as they thought about the souls of people who had gone on before them, they grieved that they were going to be left behind. They didn't know what was going to happen to them when Christ returned. Now, Paul, hearing this, immediately responds. He responds with a message that he knew to be true. A message that proclaimed very clearly the resurrection reality. Paul met them in their grief with a word of hope, didn't he? And he reminded them, in Christ Jesus, who died and who rose, all people are joined together in the resurrection. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, said Paul, so that you don't grieve like those who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus all of those who have fallen asleep in him. See, when Christ comes again, friends, the dead in Christ will rise first, is what Paul is telling us, and then us, and together, all of us together, united, once again, together, forever. And here's the other part of it. As God unites us and as God brings us together, our faith also tells us that we will get new and glorified bodies. Now think about that for a second. Now you think to yourself, Pastor, you're too young to think anything about this. You're only 40, and us old folk, we know about this stuff. You don't, so you shouldn't talk on this. Well, let me tell you something. Even though I'm 40, right, Steve? You get it, too. I'm starting to realize I'm not young anymore. See, I knew you would laugh at me. So here's my example. We took the roof off of our addition this week. My brother-in-law put it on. I certainly did not, because remember a few weeks ago I talked to you about my building? Yeah. I cut that cat door with the jigsaw. Remember that? Yeah, so you don't want me putting a roof on, right? In fact, they let me use the nail gun once, and I thought that was the coolest thing. But it wasn't, right, Larry? Because all the shingles were nice and straight until I got the nail gun, and then it started to go like this. So anyway, I don't do that stuff. But my job was to clean up. And so I decided that I was going to put all of the old shingles in those big black contractor bags. You know what I'm talking about? And I filled them. I filled them. Oh, man. And I lifted them because I thought, I got strength. I'm all right. You know? Yeah. 10 bags, right? And I can't move my arm much more than this right now. So I get it. I get it. I'm feeling it, right? But the hope that we have, the joy that we have is the ailments and the struggles that we experience here and now, no more in that resurrection reality. God's promise says to you and me that not only will we be together, but the things that burden us here, the pains, the struggles, the hardships, no more. Just new and glorified bodies. And what hope-filled words those are as well. We are resurrection people. And so we have hope. But that's not to say that we don't grieve, right? Notice what Paul says. Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to grieve like those who have no hope. Paul's not disregarding grief, is he? Paul is helping us to see that grief is completely acceptable. Actually, it's good and it's healthy. All of us will grieve when we say goodbye for a little while to those people who have gone on before us. And it's important for us to grieve. And each of us are going to grieve in our own ways, right? There's no set way of grieving. Although, some have made connections over the years and identified that there are certain things that people will experience that are sort of commonalities in the grief process. In 1969, there was a woman by the name of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. Anybody ever heard of her? She came up with 5 steps that she said you can probably expect in the grieving process. And so here's how she identified. She said the first step is denial. And in that stage, you're going to probably experience emotions of avoidance and confusion. And then from denial comes anger, which can include emotions of frustration, anxiety. And then from there, depression, which can include emotions of really helplessness. And then comes this stage called bargaining. And that's a stage where we begin to sort of open up some. In that stage, we struggle to find the meaning, or struggle to find meaning. But it's also in this stage that we want people to begin to hear our story, to know our walk. And from there comes acceptance, she said, which involves an openness to exploring options, to moving forward. Well, after Elizabeth came up with those 5 points, there were 2 points that were added. There was shock and then testing before acceptance is what was concluded. So whether it's 5 steps or whether it's 7 steps, I guess it really doesn't matter. We grieve. And the emotions are real. And it's important for us to grieve. Death stings, we know that. And the loss of a loved one isn't expected to be easy. But we don't walk it alone. God has given us each other. God has given us community, right? People. People to embrace us. People to be with us in our grief. People who are willing to hear our story. And not only that, but our faith tells us that God gives of himself to us in our grief. He meets us right where we are. Do you remember the story of the widow at Nain in the Bible? She had lost her son, and Jesus met her right there with the word of life. And that's exactly what he does for you and me, too, in our grief. He meets us right where we are. with a word of certainty, with a word of life. And while our grief is real, here's the thing. Our grief, though, is different. It isn't hopeless despair, but it's hope-filled grief. It's hope-filled because it doesn't end in death, but it begins with life. Life in our Jesus. Our Jesus who is the way, the truth, and the life. Our Jesus, the crucified one, the risen one, who defeated death for you and me, making us his own and preparing a place for us. Our Jesus who connects us to himself and to one another eternally. And our Jesus who will come again that we might be together. My friends, I think what Paul is helping us to see in this passage is the reality of grief. He helps us to see that just because we're Christian doesn't mean that we deny grief or that we shouldn't grieve. As a people of God, we do grieve. But it's a good grief, if that makes sense. It's a good grief because it points us to life. Life in Jesus. Life with him. And it's this promise, and this promise alone, that can raise us up, even in our grief, right here, right now. And it's this promise that you can bet for sure that will raise us up once and for all, that we might be together, together forever. What hope-filled words those are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The congregation offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning radio broadcast is sponsored and brought to you by Harold Deutschlander, in memory of mother and father, Violet and Carl Deutschlander, and also in memory of Ida and Joe Witkowski.
I invite you to please stand for the offering prayer. It is our faith that brings us here, O God. It is our faith that leads us to offer these things. Accept these gifts as an expression of thanks for all that you have given to us.
Use these gifts for service to the church and the world, that all may come to know you and your all-providing love. Amen.
In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please also include Marge Kelm. Marge is having some health issues. Darlene Vogel. Darlene continues to recover from her surgery. Carolyn Noski. Carolyn was hospitalized this past week with some cardiac issues. And I'm glad to see that Carolyn is up in the choir loft. So it's I'm glad you're out of the hospital and doing okay, Carolyn. But we'll continue to pray for you. For Briella, that's Betty Cavalieri's two-month-old granddaughter, or great-granddaughter. She is in Children's Hospital with some significant health issues, so please pray for her. We say special words of prayer for the families of the victims from last Sunday's church shooting in Texas, for Bob and Karen Zeeland's friend Ted, for Bar Pashadlo's friend Ron, for Betty Sudo, who took a fall this past week, and last but not least, we pray for Brandon Pope, that's Eliza's godfather, who couldn't be here this morning as he's recovering from some surgery. So please keep Brandon in your prayers as well. Let's pray. Welcoming God's reign of righteousness and mercy, let us pray with people of every time and every place. We pray for all who govern, especially Donald, our president. Give them wise and generous hearts for those they serve. Lord, in your mercy, answer the cries of your people and nations caught in war and destruction. Hold in your care all veterans and their families, including Cody, Tracy, and William from our congregation. Ease the burden of tough memories and bring restoration and wholeness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for this assembly, especially the Payne, Pierce, Peck, Pelton, and Perry families, for our guests and our visitors, for newcomers to this community, and for those who are certain and those who doubt, and for all who seek you in this place. Lord, in your mercy, shine your merciful and healing light on the despairing places of our minds and our souls. Bring hope in the midst of danger, depression, illness, and grief. We pray especially today for Marge and Darlene, for Carolyn, I'm sorry, Briella. We pray for the families of the victims from the shooting in Texas, for Ted, for Ron, for Betsy, and for Brandon. We pray for all of those who are printed in our worship bulletin, our friends, our family members, and anybody else that we name before you in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Ever-present God, thank you for your continued presence with the people of La Santa Cruz Lutheran Church. We rejoice in the work taking place with our Hispanic brothers and sisters. Continue to bless Pastor Flores and all the members of La Santa Cruz as they seek to be your presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive
the people of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in our worship this morning. St. John's Church is located in the center of Depew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway, at 67 Lutfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by grace of God alone, that we know about the grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship with us in person in the near future. Our building is handicapped accessible. If you would like more information about St. John's or about our faith as Lutheran Christians, please write to us. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our broadcast. If you'd like to help sponsor one of our broadcasts, we would welcome your support. Write or call our church office for information. Our address is 67 Litchfield Avenue, Depew, New York, 14043. This is your announcer, Jim Klaus, wishing you God's protection and care for you in the days ahead. Thank you.
Just real quick for our closing hymn, we'll sing four verses.
The recessional hymn this morning is Saul Ardern, Yourself with Gladness, hymn 259 in the Lutheran Worship.
Thank you for your service. We're blessed because of you. So again, thank you for that. Christmas is coming. That's hard to believe, but it is. And so there's a few things that we've got to take care of to make our services just the way that we like them here. And part of that is poinsettias. So if you're interested in placing poinsettias on the chancel this year for Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, there's a sign-up sheet for that in the fellowship area. Please make sure you sign up as soon as possible. Next week is the deadline.
Today.
Okay, it doesn't say the 19th in the bulletin?
No, that's for the
wreaths. That's the wreaths. Okay, sorry about that. Today is the deadline for poinsettias. So please get your name on that list. This is it. All right. Wreaths. Poinsettias are doing and wreaths again this year. I don't know how you guys do it. Okay. You know, yeah, you guys got your hands full, but you continue to do this. So thank you for doing that. If you want a wreath from the Poinsettias this year, there's a sign-up sheet in the fellowship area on the bulletin board. So please get your name on that so they can begin preparing for that. The deadline, as already mentioned, is the 19th. Okay. If you receive the nomination form, please get that nomination form into us, a nomination for an office here at St. John's. Please get that form into us as soon as possible. I believe today was the deadline for receiving those. But we are a grace-filled community, so if you forgot it today, our grace extends till tomorrow. No, all seriousness, try to get it into us as soon as possible so that we can begin putting that stuff together. Okay? I think that's it from me for now. Laura's got a few things to say about Consecration Weekend, which is next weekend, all right?
Hello, everyone. Yes, next weekend is Consecration Weekend. Hopefully you've all received a mailing with some information and a fresh card. Last week I spoke briefly about some electronic giving options that we're working on, and I want to thank Ross and Mike Brown and Pastor for their help with that. Our website is up and running, and you'll be able to give either online, through an app on your phone, or through texting. And this may be a good option for some of our younger members, or for people who are used to doing this, or for some families of the radio listeners. So thank you, gentlemen, for that. So I ask over the next week if you just take some time to reflect on the many blessings that God has given you and your family, and how you can be a blessing here at St. John's and help to support the running of our church, but also the many ministries that we have going on here. We're always looking for people to give of their time and talent to help support this church and ministries that we're involved in. So if you could just remember to bring your pledge cards next week. And I thank you for everything that all of you do here. It's such a blessing that you are at St. John's. Thank you.
Thanks, Laura. Laura did mention the website. We have made reference to the website the last couple of weeks. There's a lot of work that has been done for the website already. We've got it to do some things that we've been longing for it to do. Obviously, as Laura mentioned, the online giving stuff is beginning to get rolled out, so you can check that out on the website. But the other neat thing that I just wanted to mention that we're able to do now is to place audio recordings of the service. Right to the website, which we have not been able to do before. So if there's a Sunday that you can't make it because you're sick, not because your lazy boy is more comfortable than the pews, but if there is a Sunday that you can't make and you can't listen to the broadcast at 11 o'clock, those are posted right on the website. The full service is there, as well as the bulletin. So it's a neat opportunity. Check that out. And also, a very, very special thanks to Ross. You may have noticed a couple weeks back, he was making his way around here, snapping all kinds of photos and stuff. All of those photos, well, not all of them, but a good number of them, were put on the website to bring it just a new year and some updated photos. So, yeah.
I just want to mention that the texting option, we thought would reach our radio listeners who might be willing to contribute to St. John's and had no other means or didn't know how to send a check or whatever. By giving that on the radio broadcast that they can now text, we feel that may help out our overall budget.
Very good. Good. Is that? I didn't hear you. That's all. Good. Okay, everyone, that's it. Have a blessed week. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.